Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 430 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Neil Tyra, out on the West Coast with my good friend Sam Malai out there on the... No, I'm on the East Coast. What am I talking about? Sam's on the West Coast. I was thinking it got ahead of myself. Sam, how are you doing out there?
Fantastic. Ready for a rally-packed episode today, Neil.
By the way, I watched the football game last night. That stadium, SoFi Stadium, up the street and around the corner from you, that is a magnificent stadium.
Really? And I just yesterday was randomly watching a YouTube video about Clippers building and even the craziest stadium.
Indoor stadium. Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
That'd be an amazing experience. And I was actually, Neil, I was in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago and I went to the Dome.
The Sphere?
The Sphere.
It's called the Sphere. Yeah.
Incredible experience. I highly recommend it.
Isn't that something? I watched the Formula One race Saturday night at 1 o'clock in the morning because that's who I am. And they had all these multi-million dollar race cars just flying past the Sphere. And it was just at night in Vegas. It was just a magnificent visual setting. Sparks flying off the bottom of the cars that bottomed out on the asphalt. It was unbelievable.
Not just visually, but also the audio-wise.
Absurd.
They're like, whoa. Anyways, let's have an amazing...
Let's do it. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about here today.
5 secrets to scaling your law firm faster than ever. Neil, we're going to give the 5-part recipe for scaling your law firm way faster than your competitors would be able to do. We're just giving it all away. Let's do it. Number one, the most important, Neil, is going all in on ads, because there is no faster way to generate clients and a more dependable and most consistent way to generate clients online these days for lawyers than running ads. If you don't believe me, well, take it from somebody who's signing up close to 1,000 clients a month from ads. It works, it's scalable, trackable, and it's profitable, most importantly. You just have
that's a drop the mic moment right there, Sam. You know, signing up 1,000 new clients a month, every month, month after month. Okay, I don't care who you are. If you can't take that as an example of this is a tried and proven route to client growth, and you're just not paying attention. Right?
Guess what, Neil? I'm not even proud about that. I'm proud about our members who take the same formula.
Yeah,
literally exactly. Same exact formula, formulaic approach that we do everything and apply the same things. And we're sharing those case studies inside of Lawyer Club. Don't believe us? Go to joinlawyerclub.com and see all those case studies. Lawyers, regular lawyers who are just applying these same exact recipes, getting results from ads. And the best part is they learned how to fish. Doesn't matter what things change with Google and Facebook and TikTok, they forgot the recipe. The recipe is the most important part. And that's where we give away and we help you set up for your law firm. And honestly, it's the highest ROI thing that any lawyer can do. Again, go to mylegalacademy.com. Book a call to speak to our team. Everything we'll be sharing here on this episode is exactly what our team helps you set up. It's a done with you approach. It works. Proven formula. We've been doing this for 4 years, over 1,000 lawyers, proven formula. So again, the first part, running ads, get straight to the point. These are Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok and YouTube ads. Very formulaic approach. What type of creative works to attract your prospects? We basically have a formula about how the visuals, the pictures, and the videos and the ad copies should be. We already have that already built out for all practice types. We apply that formulaic approach to get in front of your prospects. We call them out. Hey, Mr. Billy Bob, whoever your name is, you probably have this problem. If you have this problem, we could help you get this ultimate result. If you want to know how we can also help you, click here. From there, they give us the answer, a set of qualification questions to see if they qualify. They give us their contact information. That information is passed over to our CRM. Then part number two, we're going to go straight to the point to this, our virtual. Yeah, Neil?
I'm going to hang on 2 seconds here. I want to focus on the key word here, and that's scalable. Okay. There's a lot of ways to attract clients to a law firm. But if you want to talk about scaling it up, there's no better way than with paid advertising, paid digital online advertising. You can't scale up networking to this degree. You can't scale up content marketing to this degree. You can't scale up relationship building to this degree. Okay. You can do all those things and all those things can have results, but you're not going to be able to scale it to the size and speed that we're talking about with any other mechanism, any other approach than paid digital advertising.
Spot on. The scale, which is basically like the magnitude of how much you could get yourself out there. Literally thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of a day that you get in front of. Last time I looked at this number, Neil, was like 2 years ago, was I looked at just from one of my law firms, how many people we reached in the US. At the time, it was 26 million people. Last time I looked at this number, it's probably over, probably at this point, probably 40, 50 million people that we reached in the US. It's crazy. I could never do that with any kind of billboard or anything.
No. And moreover, it's not just shouting into a bullhorn. Okay. It's pretty much a direct connection to your target prospect. Because it's targetable by population.
And once you figure out the formula, you could start applying it to little sub niches or sub problems that your prospects have. And each one adds on. You launch that campaign, you got that going, that's profitable. You got the next problem that you're also solving, next problem. And then you can even apply it to other practice types once you figure out the formula. And people just stack on these niches and sub niches and, you know, different niches on top of each other just because they got the formula down. Again, it's been crucial. And then again, as we're entering 2025, if you're looking to grow your law firm, you need to be running ads. I don't know how to be more explicit than that. You need to be run ads in order to have a law firm that does well in 2025. As I was kind of sprinting towards, because I was getting really excited, Neil, as I was explaining, when the leads come in, where you're asking those qualification questions and you're getting your prospects' contact information, that is being zapped. Basically, Zapier integration that goes directly to your CRM. And as soon as it goes into your CRM, who step in is your virtual intakers. These people that you hire from, usually either from overseas or it could also be from US based, who are trained intake and sales to be able to right away get in contact with your prospects and get them on the phone is the first step. Number two, qualify them, ask very specific questions. Follow an SOP and a script. They don't necessarily need to offer any legal advice. It's not the point at that point. And then if they qualify and say, well, based on the answers you gave me, yes, our law firm does exactly this. And yes, we can help you. All you have to do is check your email because I just sent you a retainer agreement. Go open it up. Can you open it? Yes. Can you read the first paragraph for me? Yes. Is it something that is exactly lines up with what we just discussed in this call? Yes. Well, all you have to do is just put your name here and sign here. And we'll onboarding team will get in contact with you today to get you onboarded. Very formulaic approach. It works, but this whole thing has to be systematized about, you know, hiring and training your intakers. But ideally, again, the recipe is having these virtual intakers that you train that can do this for you. So they have the time and the bandwidth to be able to do the follow-ups and have the resilience to, you know, consistently do this versus you being the center upper.
Yeah, I mean, it's not reasonable if you're going to scale, if your objective is scaling, then the area that you have to focus on first and foremost, once those ads start paying off, is how do I handle all this tsunami of calls that are coming in? You know, I know one attorney who said, well, I have a virtual receptionist. That just means they'll get more calls. Well, they were overwhelmed, and then they started complaining about the cost of the virtual receptionist because they were on the phone, you know, 24/7, just about. So you have to really work to develop a system, particularly for your virtual intakers who can do this in a systemic way that supports quickly identifying who's going to become a client of your law firm and who isn't.
Neil, something I've noticed recently, it's been actually for 4 years ever since I started doing My Legal Academy, is a lot of law firm owners have a multi-step intake process.
Yeah.
And let me give it like a typical example. You have the virtual receptionist who takes on the call. takes down the message. Then you have somebody in-house, usually, who calls back, who further qualifies. And then if they qualify, sets up an appointment with the lawyer, sometimes do free consultations or paid consultation at that point, then the lawyer has to talk to them, and then the lawyer gives the green light, and then the in-house person has to send the retainer agreement. That whole process is convoluted and actually significantly lowers your conversion rates. Ideally, what you want to do is just have one layer, that one person who does the qualification, signing up and follow up in one shot. That way you also give more time and attention and also more of a relationship building with your prospects with one person versus they have to talk to three people. Every time you do that, every time you pass the ball to someone else, and just imagine there's a high chance that the ball is going to get dropped versus you have one person who's just dealing with it from A to Z. That really helps systematize this whole signing up client aspect of your law firm. And I know every time I share this, there's always people that are like, okay, maybe for you, or maybe for this practice type. Oh, I know. I can hear the voices right now as you guys are screaming this. I promise you, it's very universal. It just has to be. There's a nuances that has to be worked out. There's always nuances, but that's the motto, is we want to look for the ideal way that it should be, and we work towards it.
I'm always reminded of the story from a book written by Joey Coleman, who happens to be a friend of mine. Joey Coleman wrote a book called Never Lose a Customer Again. And he tells a story about getting an appointment with a dentist. And so just imagine you have a toothache, you got to find a dentist. If it took you four or five layers and two or three callbacks to get an appointment with a dentist, you know, when you have a toothache, you're not going to hire that dentist. You're going to hire the dentist, or you're going to go to the dentist who can respond to your problem immediately, get you on the calendar, explain to you why they're the right person for the job, and that intake person build a rapport with you such that you're comfortable. You may not see the dentist until he walks in with a drill in his hand, right? But the same thing is true for a law firm. You know, if you have multiple layers before you can actually get to the point where the attorney or the law firm can help you, you're inclined to look elsewhere.
And then that'll be a good segue to point number three, which is systematizing every aspect of your law firm. So how do you know what to systematize? Well, the trigger is anything that's repeatable and or tedious. Okay, so think about that. Okay, what are you currently doing, either you or your team, that's repeatable and or tedious? Well, that usually is the trigger that you could usually systematize it. How do you systematize it? I'm going to try to break it down as simple as possible. Is you need to write out what needs to get done when something happens. And this happens, do this. And then when this happens, do this. Ideally, first format is written out in a step numbered kind of format. Number two, ideally, is you want to record a video, a Loom video. There's an amazing tool. We've talked about Loom a lot, loom.com. Use a Loom video where you explain what the process is and what needs to get done. And if you have to show things on the screen, which usually you do, then you show it. Now, when this happens, they go do this. And now that becomes the formulaic process for you to be able to at least delegate it or ask if there's tools involved. There's usually, if there's a tool, especially on the front end, if there's data coming in, what tool do I need to send this information to? And if that's the case, then usually Zapier or another software called Make that could connect those two pieces together. Okay. Those are like kind of the triggers of how you think about how to systematize stuff. Usually it's a set of instructions that you're looking to delegate, or there's tools involved, there's data coming in. How are you going to piece them together when this data comes in? How is this going to go to the next place? That's how you create a system out of your law firm. Usually that falls into the realm of your prospects to get your prospects signed up. Usually you're going to have your prospects fill out something, or the information is going to come from somewhere. Well, you're able to systematize where that information should go and what should happen. So, you know, again, SOPs and instructions for that, or tools, Zapier, to be able to connect those pieces together. And the second part is your clients. Whenever you get a signed up new client, or let's just say every time a new DocuSign is signed, well, one needs to happen automatically for the next step to be taken without you necessarily being involved. So let's just say that automatically DocuSign will automatically, you know, add it to your CRM. It will also notify your onboarding team. It will also maybe after the document DocuSign is signed, then they could be sent to an online form where they gather information gathering or the document collection. These are all systems that you build. And then also serving your clients. Well, you need to serve your clients. Well, after we got the information that we need from our clients in documents, how can we take that information and start also automatically populating forms or Google Docs of information based on what the clients give you? Those are usually like the realms where systematizing is going to happen for law firms.
Yeah. You know, Sam, when I talk to attorneys about systemizing their law firm, now my perspective comes from, I was a techie to start long before I became an attorney. And this whole idea of systematizing process, I mean, my business card said systems engineer on it. So that's kind of a soft spot for me, or sweet spot for me. I think one of the things that people do is they think in too large a scope. They think of a process from end to end, and they say, well, I can't systemize that because there's too many places in between that start and stop finish in which a human being has to be involved. And what I say is then those little chunks are your little systems, right? It can be something as little as get this intake form completed. That's all the system is get the intake form completed. And then over here, I have the next chunk that says, take that intake form and draft the design, the estate planning documents from that intake form. Again, two separate little systems that are set up. I think if you, your message there is if you start to focus down in smaller chunks, you're going to find more opportunities to systematize. And once you get those little systems in place, then you can start and link them together even more to create longer and more involved processes.
Spot on, Neil. Just last week, I usually go to our office once a week on Thursdays to meet with my partner, meet with our directors in person. And I was leaving the office and all of a sudden I passed by our whiteboard and I see this very beautifully written workflow, our law firm workflow from our clients, from our marketing sources to them being signed up. And then what happens when we have to gather the documents and their information with disqualification, qualified, different types of clients, all breaking down, like all coming, trickling down. And basically it was a workflow. And I looked at it like, wow, I'm so impressed because it's something that I always stress to our team is let's put it on paper, let's put it up, so let's visually see it so we can know who tackles what and what we have to do. And that's what it takes. You know, a lot of we need to take your law firm and visually, again, can do this on a whiteboard. That's ideal. If not, just a white paper, start sketching it out. It doesn't matter how complex or how simple you have it. Even if you have the most simple thing, write it out. Once you put it out on paper, then you can see what are the opportunities, where I can grow. Okay, maybe there's some stuff here that's a little bit chaotic. Maybe you circle that, you focus on that. When you visually see things, it really puts things into perspective. But you're so right, Neil. Once you have it in perspective, then you have to go focus on that part and tackle one at a time.
That whole process in the IT world is called systems analysis. And you'll find is that doing that systems analysis in and of itself is a beneficial activity. Teach you more about how you're practice operates. Just one other quick note before you move on here, Sam. You mentioned Loom. I just want to also note, if you are an Apple-based firm using Macs and iPhones and the like and iPads, they have screen recording built right in that does the exact same thing as Loom. Creates a video. You can do a voiceover on that video. You can also then add transcripts. So you have a voiceover with a transcript and also captions underneath and screen recording. So that's another tool that you may find useful.
I'm going to add one more to systems. Just Neil, I just posted on my Facebook page that I'm proud to share that I got one of my most sought after trademarks registered.
Okay.
Called Intake AI, which is basically an AI that that texts and calls your prospects to get them signed up. And this is going to allow me to focus even more on this. So this is a huge part. If you're looking to systematize your intake process, well, I'm going to be leaning into this. Again, please make sure to join our lawyer club. Just go to joinlawyerclub.com as I share more and more about this and how we can help lawyers with intake AI. That'll be posted there.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Let's go to point number four. which is secret number four of scaling your law firm faster than ever, is to get as many Google reviews as possible. Neil, we've talked about this multiple times, but it still doesn't take away from the significance of this, or else we wouldn't stress this so much. It pays a lot. Each review is worth literally monetary amount. Okay, just imagine, I'm just putting it out there, each Google review for you is worth $1,000. Now, how much more will you take it seriously now, right, Neil? And if you have 20 Google reviews, that's worth $20,000 to you. So how much money would you like to make, Mr. Bob, or whoever that's listening? Well, you want to make $100,000? Let's go collect 100 Google reviews. Minimum, by the way. It's probably way more likely to be worth more. That's the value of Google reviews these days, and even more so as time goes by, because that's how you also differentiate yourself versus your competitors. You know, you care about your clients, you do good work. Well, the one thing you get back is a good positive Google review, especially if it's a juicy Google review that has details that really shows exactly how you help them. That is worth a lot to your prospects who are looking you up or looking to see if can this law firm help me too. They read that, boosts their conversion rates, and then boosts their chance of them actually signing up, and it will help you a lot in the long run.
Yeah, I do a lot of follow-up work with our clients. And far and away, the number one reason when I asked what drew you to our law firm in the first place, they said it was your Google reviews. You had a lot of Google reviews and they were, you know, very complimentary, and to which I'm very grateful to our clients. Now, I believe we earned them, but I'm also very grateful to our clients for taking the time to post them. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm primarily a solo practitioner with a lot of back office help, but I'm not as big as some of the other firms in the area. I dwarf them in Google reviews. And every single one, I'm proud to say, every single one of the reviews I've gotten is a 5-star review. So you can't beat that. It helps in your SEO from a natural basis. When people start searching, you get extra credits for having Google reviews. It helps in social proof, people recognizing that you're an expert. They connect with the words of your clients. You know, they hear their own voice in your client's words, and they feel like they know you and they can trust you before they ever pick up the phone or fill out a scheduling request. So it's an extraordinarily important thing to do. And I think lawyers, frankly, they're afraid to ask for them. They're told, you know, you shouldn't be asking for reviews, or it's unseemly. And that's the way to do it the right way. So that you're not salesy, you're not spammy or scammy, to just let your clients know that your business is built on your reputation, and nothing speaks more to your reputation than the words of other people about the job that you did. And frankly, you know, maybe you wish it were otherwise, but the way of the world, the fact of the world is that Google reviews is the number one area that people look. They don't look at Yelp. They don't look at other things. They look at your Google review. So build those up. Don't be shy about it.
Neil, as we were speaking, I just looked up. I went to Google Business Profile Manager and looked up across my five law firms. How many Googles do I have? I have 4,165 across my five law firms. Yeah. And still to this day, I'm that annoying guy who goes into Slack, hey team, let's pick it up. I'll be consistently asking for Google reviews, and we have a whole system to this. And if you go to joinlawyerclub.com, we have the system that we could share with you.
Yeah, I was just going to point that out, that you have systemized that process of asking for Google reviews. And I follow it to a degree, a little more streamlined because it's not quite as big, but the process is there, and the proof is in the pudding. 4,000. Yep.
And I just want to add, there's also other ways to utilize your existing Google reviews. Not only should you be collecting, but let's make sure that you're utilizing them. Well, how do you utilize them? Number one is respond back to all your Google reviews. Yeah. And be transparent. I just used ChatGPT. I basically built an agent. So you're a world-class customer support expert who knows how to professionally and kindly respond back to Google reviews. I'm going to be copy and paste reviews for you. All you have to do is write the most amazing professional response back to me. So every time I just copy and paste, that gives me the output. I share that. It's also personalized. And then I just pass over that agent to one of our virtual assistants who just does that on a consistent weekly basis. So that's number one. Number two is go look at your Google reviews and take your top three juiciest reviews you've ever received in your law firm. And what you want to do, take those screenshots and add those screenshots to your website homepage. Simple formula. Put it somewhere right up top, very close to the above, next to the header of the page. As soon as the page loads, that boosts conversions like crazy, like more than you think. So add it there. Add it to your emails. One of your first emails should just show the barrage of those screenshots, or you could also copy and paste the actual text of what those reviews says. And also third, if you happen to have landing pages, those also do really, really, really well there. The more reviews is better. On landing pages, you want to add as many of those screenshots as possible. If you have 30 of them, believe it or not, add 30 of those reviews onto your landing pages. And the third part is use it in your social media. Bring that into your cycle of content. One out of five social media posts should be about testimonials, about social proof, basically. Those do really well, especially if you add a story to it and more context to it versus just posting the screenshot. That's just like, okay, but add more context to it. Those do really well. And again, it helps boost conversions. Let's go to point number five, which is having unlimited budget for tools. Okay, having unlimited budget for tools. We've shared this mindset before with our audience, which is if you use a tool, it's worth it. If you don't use a tool, it's not worth it. Okay, from now on, have a mindset where it doesn't matter what the cost is. The price of the tool does not matter. It's irrelevant. It's just the question is, do you use it? If you use it, guaranteed it's valuable for you. If you don't use it, guaranteed it's not valuable for you. And you want to lean into as many tools as you can to actually utilize this from your law firm. Good news is, Neil, I've shared plenty of tools lists inside of our community lawyer club. It's all there. You literally just go to lawyer club and search for tools. You'll find plenty of posts that I made in the past. There's one particular Google sheet called the Ultimate Tools List. This is probably like the behemoth. The most comprehensive list of tools you could ever see. As a list, I'm actually looking at it right now. First tab is, it's called Best Tools, which is basically the top 25 tools that I think every lawyer needs. Then the second tab is Other Great Tools. It's a more comprehensive list that I don't think every lawyer needs, but there's a need for those. The next tab is Best AI Tools, Best CRM, Office Setup, Best VA Services if you're looking to hire virtual assistants, Chrome extensions, best YouTube channels, best Reddit channels, best websites that you could look at to see. These best websites are like different tools that you could use as a website, best Mac apps, best books, best credit cards, everything you could possibly imagine. This tool is shared inside of our community. Again, go to joinlawyerclub.com and search for Ultimate Lawyer Tools List. It's shared with our community.
How much does that cost, Sam? Forget that.
For free.
That huge comprehensive list. How much do you charge for it?
Zero, but it cost me 10 years of not only experimenting with a lot of those tools, but also the time that it took to, I don't put any tools, by the way, I don't make lists for the sake of making tools. No. Most of these resources are to scratch my own itch. It's my own resources. So I don't put anything bad. As soon as I see that something is, I don't use anymore and I thought it was a waste of time, I go and delete it and I take it off the list. So I only have the best of the best on these.
Yeah. And let me point out that Sam keeps that list up to date. It's not a list that he created 5 years ago and is dated. It's up to date to this week.
That's true. I'm always optimizing it. And the order also matters for me because I can't keep track of which one was the best. So I just move it up. So that becomes the first one is always the best rule of thumb. Second one is usually the second best. And then there's like the tertiary ones. Other thing I'm going to add to this point is get the best and fastest laptop you can afford. Okay. This is something that I dealt with recently. I had a big conundrum. I had a Apple MacBook Pro M1 chip, which is just a three-year-old computer. But because it was an M chip, which is basically Apple's own chip, basically it was like the fastest, best computer ever. I had no issues with it at all. But just about a month ago, Apple released the M4 chips. And I had this big dilemma. Should I get this new M4 chip? And I asked a couple of my peers, should I, should I not? And I came to the conclusion at the time before I ended up deciding to get it, was that when you're competing and not just competing, but when you're trying to do something in life, you want to take your competitive advantages, especially like the higher level that you grow into. you want to take every competitive advantage that you can get. So even if it's 0.1 second faster, you want to take it. So I ended up buying the bullet, buying it, and instantly, Neil, within the same day and the same week, I realized this was by far the right move. And why did I even question it? And I didn't realize how much faster it is. Yes, the M1 chip was fast, but the M4 chip, you have no idea how much faster it is. And I can attest, I've been working less, Neil, the last couple of weeks, just because I could get my stuff done quicker, because I have a faster laptop. That's it.
Yeah.
So get the best.
Well, I say the same exact thing about your smartphone. You know, get the very best, the very fastest, most up-to-date, the largest that you can afford. It's never a waste of money. I'm always amazed by people who say, well, I've got an iPhone 8 and it serves me well. I mean, I can make my phone calls. I can get my text messages. And I'm like, yeah, I can put a supercomputer in your hand. And do you know what you can do with a supercomputer in your hand? And how much time you're going to save because of the speed and the flexibility. So always, 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 this is the techie in me, but always get the biggest, the best, the fastest, the largest that you can afford. And as you said, have an unlimited budget for that. This is money that you're investing for your firm. You're never going to lose money on it. I promise you, you're never going to lose money. And the only other thing I would add to that, Sam, and I'm going to push this all the time. I've said it all the time. If you have a tool, take the time to learn as much about its capabilities as you can. People get upset where they say, well, I spent, you know, X amount of dollars on this tool, and it only really does this one thing for me. Well, have you explored what else it can do? Have you explored? If you become an expert in that tool, do you know every aspect of what it could? No, I don't have the time to do that. Okay. Well, now you're throwing away your own money. Now you're wasting your money. Okay. Buy the best, invest in tools, and then learn every damn thing you can learn about how that tool might be able to help you.
And everything that we shared in today's episode, again, is exactly what our program at My Legal Academy does. Literally setting up, helping you set up ads, helping you hire intakers, helping you systematize everything that we talked about, integrations, the leads going to your CRM, everything on the back end, collecting Google reviews, and helping you embrace tools in your practice. Again, go to mylegalacademy.com. If you're still listening to this episode and you haven't booked a call yet, what are you doing with your life? Go do that right now, mylegalacademy.com. Amazing episode. We have a lot more amazing episodes lined up, a lot of fun, interesting topics. And again, I'm not sure when this episode will be posted. If it gets posted before December 12th, please join us at Lawyer Club Fiesta. The details will be in the show notes. If not, go join us at Lawyer Club. Everything will be posted there. Thank you so much. We'll see you in the next episode.
Absolutely. Be well.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.